Chapter 109. Occupation of shaking the carpets. It is not half as innocent a thing as it looks, that shaking little pieces of carpet at least. There may be no great harm in the shaking, but the folding is a very insidious process. So long as the shaking lasts, and the two parties are kept the carpet's length apart, it is as innocent an amusement as can well be devised. But when the folding begins, and the distance between them gets gradually lessened from one half its former length to a quarter, and then to an eighth, and then to a sixteenth, and then to a 32nd, if the carpet be long enough, it becomes dangerous. We do not know, to a nicety, how many pieces of carpet were folded in this instance, but we can venture to state that as many pieces as there were, so many times did Sam kiss the pretty housemaid. Mr. Weller regaled himself with moderation at the nearest tavern until it was nearly dusk, and then returned to the lane without the thoroughfare. Having been admitted into the garden by Mary, and having received from that lady sundry admonitions concerning the safety of his limbs and neck, Sam mounted into the pear tree, to wait until Arabella should come into sight. He waited so long without this anxiously expected event occurring, that he began to think it was not going to take place at all, when he heard light footsteps upon the gravel, and immediately afterwards beheld Arabella walking pensively down the garden. As soon as she came nearly below the tree, Sam began, by way of gently indicating his presence, to make sundry diabolical noises similar to those which would probably be natural to a person of middle age who had been afflicted with a combination of inflammatory sore throat, croup, and whooping cough, from his earliest infancy. Upon this, the young lady cast a hurried glance towards the spot whence the dreadful sounds proceeded, and her previous alarm being not at all diminished, when she saw a man among the branches, she would most certainly have decamped and alarmed the house, had not fear fortunately deprived her of the power of moving, and caused her to sink down on a garden seat, which happened by good luck to be near at hand. "She's a goin' off," soliloquized Sam in great perplexity. "What a thing it is, as these here young creeturs will go a faintin' of a just when they oughtn't to. Here, young woman, Miss Sawbones, Mrs. Winkle, don't." Whether it was the magic of Mr. Winkle's name, or the coolness of the open air, or some recollection of Mr. Weller's voice, that revived Arabella, matters not. She raised her head and languidly inquired, "Who's that, and what do you want?" "Hush," said Sam, swinging himself onto the wall, and crouching there in as small a compass as he could reduce himself to, "only me, miss, only me." "Mr. Pickwick's servant," said Arabella earnestly. "The worry same, miss," replied Sam. "Here's Mr. Winkle reglarly sewed up with desperation, miss." Said Arabella, drawing nearer the wall. "Ah, indeed," said Sam. "We thought we should have been obliged to straight vesket him last night. He's been a raven all day, and he says, if he can't see you afore tomorrow night's over, he wishes he may be something unpleasanted, if he don't drown hisself." "Oh, no, no, Mr. Weller," said Arabella, clasping her hands. "That's what he says, miss," replied Sam coolly. "He's a man of his word, and it's my opinion he'll do it, miss. He's heard all about you from the Sawbones in Barnacles." "From my brother," said Arabella, having some faint recognition of Sam's description. "I don't rightly know which is your brother, miss," replied Sam. "Is it the dirtiest one o' the two?"
"Yes, yes, Mr. Weller," returned Arabella. "Go on. Make haste, pray."
"Well, miss," said Sam, "he's heard all about it from him,
And it's the governor's opinion that if you don't see him worry quick, the sawbones as we've been a speaking on, I'll get as much extra lead in his head as'll rather damage the development o' the organs, if they ever put it in spirits arterwards. Apostrophe, oh, what can I do to prevent these dreadful quarrels? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Arabella. It's the suspicion of a prior attachment as is the cause of it all, apostrophe, replied Sam. You'd better see him, miss. Apostrophe, but how? Where? Cried Arabella. I dare not leave the house alone. My brother is so unkind, so unreasonable. I know how strange my talking thus to you may appear, Mr. Weller, but I am very, very unhappy, apostrophe, and here poor Arabella wept so bitterly that Sam grew chivalrous. It may seem worry strange talking to me about these here affairs, miss, apostrophe, said Sam, with great vehemence, but all I can say is, that I'm not only ready, but willing to do anything as'll make matters agreeable. And if chuckin' either o' them sawbones is out o' winder I'll do it, I'm the man. Apostrophe as Sam Weller said this, he tucked up his wristbands, at the imminent hazard of falling off the wall in so doing, to intimate his readiness, to set to work immediately. Flattering as these professions of good feeling were, Arabella resolutely declined, most unaccountably, as Sam thought, to avail herself of them. For some time she strenuously refused to grant Mr. Winkle the interview Sam had so pathetically requested, but at length, when the conversation threatened to be interrupted by the unwelcome arrival of a third party, she hurriedly gave him to understand, with many professions of gratitude, that it was barely possible she might be in the garden an hour later, next evening. Sam understood this perfectly well. And Arabella, bestowing upon him one of her sweetest smiles, tripped gracefully away, leaving Mr. Weller in a state of very great admiration of her charms, both personal and mental. Having descended in safety from the wall, and not forgotten to devote a few moments to his own particular business in the same department, Mr. Weller then made the best of his way back to the bush, where his prolonged absence had occasioned much speculation and some alarm. We must be careful, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, after listening attentively to Sam's tale, not for our sakes, but for that of the young lady. We must be very cautious. Apostrophe, we. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, with marked emphasis. Mr. Pickwick's momentary look of indignation at the tone of this remark subsided into his characteristic expression of benevolence, as he replied, we, sir. I shall accompany you. Apostrophe, you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle. I, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick mildly. In affording you this interview, the young lady has taken a natural, perhaps, but still a very imprudent step. If I am present at the meeting a mutual friend, who is old enough to be the father of both parties, the voice of calumny can never be raised against her hereafter. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick's eyes lightened with honest exultation at his own foresight, as he spoke thus. Mr. Winkle was touched by this little trait of his delicate respect for the young protege of his friend, and took his hand with a feeling of regard, akin to veneration. You shall go, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle. I will, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Sam, have my greatcoat and shawl ready, and order a conveyance, to be at the door tomorrow evening, rather earlier than is absolutely necessary, in order that we may be in good time. Apostrophe, Mr. Weller touched his hat, as an earnest of his obedience, and withdrew to make all needful preparations for the expedition. The coach was punctual to the time appointed, and Mr. Weller, after duly installing Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Winkle inside, took his seat on the box by the driver. They alighted, as had been agreed on, about a quarter of a mile from the place of rendezvous, and desiring the coachman to await their return, proceeded the remaining distance on foot. It was at this stage of the undertaking that Mr. Pickwick, with many smiles and various other indications of great self-satisfaction, produced from one of his coat pockets a dark lantern, with which he had specially provided himself for the occasion, and the great mechanical beauty of which he proceeded to explain to Mr. Winkle, as they walked along, to the no small surprise of the few stragglers they met. I should have been the better for something of this kind, in my last garden expedition, at night, eh, Sam? Said Mr. Pickwick, looking good-humoredly round at his follower, who was trudging behind. Worry nice things, if they're managed properly, sir, replied Mr. Weller, but when you don't want to be seen, I think they're more useful arter the candle's gone out, than when it's alight. Mr. Pickwick appeared struck by Sam's remarks, for he put the lantern into his pocket again, and they walked on in silence. Down here, sir, said Sam. Let me lead the way. This is the lane, sir. Down the lane they went, and dark enough it was. Mr. Pickwick brought out the lantern, once or twice, as they groped their way along, and through a very brilliant little tunnel of light before them, about a foot in diameter. It was very pretty to look at, but seemed to have the effect of rendering surrounding objects rather darker than before. At length they arrived at the large stone. Here Sam recommended his master and Mr. Winkle to seat themselves, while he reconnoitered, and ascertained whether Mary was yet in waiting. After an absence of 5 or 10 minutes, Sam returned to say that the gate was opened, and all quiet. Following him with stealthy tread, Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Winkle soon found themselves in the garden. Here everybody said, "Hush!" A good many times. And that being done, no one seemed to have any very distinct apprehension of what was to be done next. Is Miss Allen in the garden yet, Mary? Inquired Mr. Winkle, much agitated. I don't know, sir, replied the pretty housemaid. The best thing to be done, sir, will be for Mr. Weller to give you a hoist up into the tree, and perhaps Mr. Pickwick will have the goodness to see that nobody comes up the lane while I watch at the other end of the garden. Goodness gracious, what's that? That ear blessed lantern'll be the death on us all, exclaimed Sam peevishly. Take care what you're a-doin' on, sir. You're ascending a blaze o' light right into the back parlor winder. Dear me. Said Mr. Pickwick, turning hastily aside. I didn't mean to do that. Now, it's in the next house, sir, remonstrated Sam. Bless my heart. Exclaimed Mr. Pickwick, turning round again. Now, it's in the stable, and they'll think the place is afire, said Sam. Shut it up, sir, can't you? It's the most extraordinary lantern I ever met with, in all my life. Exclaimed Mr. Pickwick, greatly bewildered by the effects he had so unintentionally produced. I never saw such a powerful reflector. It'll be fun too powerful for us, if you keep blazing away in that manner, sir, replied Sam, as Mr. Pickwick, after various unsuccessful efforts, managed to close the slide. There's the young lady's footsteps. Now, Mr. Winkle, sir, up with you. Said Mr. Pickwick, I must speak to her first. Help me up, Sam. Said Sam, planting his head against the wall, and making a platform of his back. Step atop o' that ear flower pot, sir. Now then, up with you. I'm afraid I shall hurt you, Sam, said Mr. Pickwick. Never mind me, sir, replied Sam. Lend him a hand, Mr. Winkle. Sir. Steady, sir, steady. That's the time o' day. As Sam spoke, Mr. Pickwick, by exertions almost supernatural in a gentleman of his years and weight, contrived to get upon Sam's back, and Sam gently raising himself up, and Mr. Pickwick holding on fast by the top of the wall, while Mr. Winkle clasped him tight by the legs, they contrived by these means to bring his spectacles just above the level of the coping. "My dear," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, looking over the wall, and catching sight of Arabella, on the other side, "don't be frightened, my dear, it's only me." Apostrophe O, oh, pray go away, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe said Arabella. "Tell them all to go away. I am so dreadfully frightened." "Dear, dear Mr. Pickwick, don't stop there. You'll fall down and kill yourself, I know you will. Apostrophe, now, pray don't alarm yourself, my dear," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick soothingly. "There is not the least cause for fear, I assure you." "Stand firm, Sam," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, looking down. "All right, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. "Don't be longer than you can conveniently help, sir. You're rather heavy." Apostrophe, "only another moment, Sam," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. "I merely wish you to know, my dear, that I should not have allowed my young friend to see you in this clandestine way, if the situation in which you are placed had left him any alternative, and, lest the impropriety of this step should cause you any uneasiness, my love, it may be a satisfaction to you to know that I am present. That's all, my dear." Apostrophe, "indeed, Mr. Pickwick, I am very much obliged to you for your kindness and consideration," apostrophe replied Arabella, drying her tears with her handkerchief. She would probably have said much more, had not Mr. Pickwick's head disappeared with great swiftness, in consequence of a false step on Sam's shoulder which brought him suddenly to the ground. He was up again in an instant, however, and bidding Mr. Winkle make haste and get the interview over, ran out into the lane to keep watch with all the courage and ardor of youth. Mr. Winkle himself, inspired by the occasion, was on the wall in a moment, merely pausing to request Sam to be careful of his master. "I'll take care on him, sir," apostrophe replied Sam. "Leave him to me." Apostrophe, "where is he? What's he doing, Sam?" apostrophe inquired Mr. Winkle. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.